Let me begin this morning by just asking a very simple question. Why do we do the things in church that we do? Why do we do them? Now, there are a lot of things that take place that if you've been in church your whole life, you probably go, man, I've done this my whole life. We've always done this. I would hope that most of you would have a very good understanding about what communion is and what it means. We've talked about that a lot here at Remnant Life, that communion is not just something that you do. There's purpose behind it. There's great meaning. Well, let me ask you this. How many of you really know what the Advent celebration is? Do you know why we do Advent? Where did it start? How did we come to this that we would want to have an activity that is reserved only for Christmas time? If someone were to ask you to explain the significance of it, because you can certainly say, well, Advent's something we do in church. We light these candles. We have a nice reading. Sometimes they sing a song. How many of you grew up with Advent in church? How many of you had Advent in your church? Some of you, yeah. Less than I thought, actually, because not all churches do it. But why do we have wreaths and candles? What's that about? I mean, there's how many different things? How come there's not a cross up there? Shouldn't there at least be a manger? Wouldn't you think? There should be a manger. Baby Jesus, manger. How about the three wise guys? Why aren't they a part of this? Sorry, wise men. Somewhere like that. And while we're asking questions about this stuff, what about Christmas itself? Is there any significance to all of the things that we have done in our homes forever? Does it mean anything other than just something else that you have to buy? And if you understand it, does it make any difference? Well, I think the answer to that question is yes. I think it makes a great deal of difference when you understand the significance of the things that we do in church, because it brings it into a proper perspective of why it's important. Does that make sense? Think about how many things in your life do you do that you have no idea why you do it? Not too many. If you don't know why you're doing it, you probably ain't doing it. Is that proper English? I don't know, Vance, if that's correct or not. Okay, good enough? Okay. So why do we do the things that we do? So what I want to do this morning is I want to start first talking about Advent, what that is. The season of Advent is important to the church. Now notice what I said. I said the church. There's a difference between a church and the church. Remnant Life is a church. The church is the worldwide body of those that know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The church is what Jesus is returning someday to take with him. And we are a part of that. But what does this mean, other than just kind of getting us a little bit excited? Because between this and Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and How the Grinch Stole Christmas, I know Christmas is close. You love those shows. Don't look at me like you're all pious. We'll talk about that in church. I love the Grinch. It's my favorite. That's just the guy's voice. I mean, that just unbelievable. Great voice. Don't get me started on that stuff. Simply put, Advent, as well as the other traditional activities in the church, help us to have a more right perspective of what it is that's happening. It keeps our focus off of only what the world is doing and brings it to the place of recognizing that what we celebrate this time of year is about Him. Amen. It's about Him first. Yeah. Now, all the other things try to drown out our thinking. They try to take away what we know is right, and we get so worked up. And yeah, maybe we'll go to a Christmas service someplace once in a while. But other than that, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. Each Sunday, we're going to come together, and this is going to help to bring us back to recognizing and understanding what is truly important about this time of year. Obviously, Christmas has become hyper-commercialized. I love the signs that I see in yards. I like the wristlets. I have my own two on today. There they are, right there, next to my Remnant Life one. It says, "Keep Christ in Christmas." Amen. Just a reminder. I have a sign that I used to have in my yard. I can't even find it now. But it says, He is the reason for the season. Amen. Picture of the nativity. Again, those of us who know Jesus Christ must remember what is the true message of this time of year. Now, I want to go to a scripture portion. If you've got your Bibles and you're going, well, this is obviously going to be a Christmas story, right? No, it's going to be someplace that you probably have never read about Christmas. But turn to the book of Ephesians. That's Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. It's in about the back third of the New Testament. Actually, it's further than that. Ephesians, the second chapter. And I want you to hear these words this morning with an understanding that we are here to talk about the significance of this time of year. Why is it that we do what we do? Ephesians 2, first verse. It says, As for you, now this is Paul talking to the church in Ephesus. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work at those who are disobedient. He's talking about Satan there. All of us, verse 3, have lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But what a wonderful word to read. But. Now, I've talked about that word many times in here. Remember? When we talk about expressing your faith in God and what He's doing, and then I always say you got to watch out that you don't put in that next word. I believe God can do this, but. You know what you've done when you do but? You wiped out the whole first sentence. Doesn't count. But, I've erased all that. That's different here. Because in what Paul is saying, he's saying you folks that are filled with the wrath of what God should bring to you are that person. You followed the things of the world. But, that's a great word, but. Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us, in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. Watch the next words. It is a, say the word, gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has given us the greatest present, the greatest gift that we could possibly have been given. It's the forgiveness of our sins, it's the salvation of our souls, and it's a promise of eternity with Him in heaven. Amen. What else should we want? We have been promised eternity with Him, the gift that He has given. Now, the tradition of Advent was started originally to continually remind the followers of Jesus, watch, that He was coming again. That He was coming again. He came the first time as an infant in the form of a man, of a person, of a human. The second time He comes, He's coming as the conquering King. He came the first time and went into a manger. The second time He comes, He's coming on a mighty steed, that of a warring champion, a warring King. He's coming again. But you see, in that interim, people, we need to be reminded that this is going to happen. That's what Advent is. It reminds us that He's going to be coming again. And let me ask you something. Are we not now, surely, in a place where we need to be reminded of that? Amen. We need to be reminded that, folks, this isn't all there is. Amen. Jesus is coming again. He's coming to take us home with Him. When all of the things that have so consumed us for the last 10 months or so are never going to be an issue again. We're never going to have to deal with those things. Because there will be no more that people will be vying for positions of power. There will be no more deception. There will be no more of those hurting other people in order that they can have. That's what heaven is. It's the perfection of how He created us to be. Now, the specific origins of Advent are unknown. We do know that it was in the Council of Tours, T-O-U-R-S, which met in 567 A.D. Now, whenever you see anything about a council, and those of you that have done any kind of reading about early church history, there were multiple councils that took place. These were the ecumenical leaders. There's a $4 word for you right there, ecumenical. We'll have a spelling test at the end of this. Ecumenical groups, which just simply mean that they were focused on the things of the word, is that they would meet together and just make sure they could clarify and affirm what it was that the people were doing. The very first one of those took place only 27 years after Jesus had resurrected and returned to heaven. It's called the Council of Jerusalem. It was in 50 AD. James, Jesus' half-brother, was in charge of that. You know who his second right-hand man was? A guy by the name of Peter. That was a pretty good council. I'd like to have been there for that. I'd have bought the notes. I'd have bought all the CDs, guaranteed. But these councils, the Council of Trent, the Council of Laodicea, the Council of Nicene, the First and Second Vatican Councils were also all about that. It was there that an order was given for the monks that were a part of that council that they would fast every day during the month of December until the day of Christmas. And the fasting was for the purpose of, again, focusing on the things of God. And so down through history, as time went, there would continually be those groups that would fast or make some offering of penitence before God to just confess sin from the year, just preparing for the new year to come. And so they did that at a time that then became an activity for the church. It started in the Roman Catholic Church because that was the only church that there was. But then a little event took place in the early 1500s called the Protestant Reformation. Most notably, a monk by the name of Martin Luther went to, in Wittenberg, Germany, to the door of the great cathedral there, and he had written out 95 separate theses, is what he called them, of reasons why he needed to be removed from the Catholic Church. He nailed those up to the door, and that was the same as proclaiming, this is what I am saying needs to take place. And as because of a result of that, it took a little bit of time, the Protestant Church was born. So when you say, where do the Baptists come from? How about the Methodists? What about non-denominational churches like that? It all started back in the early 1500s. Well, as time went on and those churches grew, they took with them some of the elements of the Roman Catholic Church. Advent was one of those elements. And as we look at the materials of what it is that we use, let me tell you just a little bit about what they mean. Why do we use a green circle wreath? Well, as many of you know, the circle, along with the figure eight, are symbols of what? Eternity. The circle has no beginning and it has no end. Every wedding I perform, you may or may not remember this. No, you don't. You have no idea what happened that day. I could see it in your eyes. The circle, I always talk about the wedding ring as being a representation of that unending love that you have, that unending commitment that you have to one another. Well, the circle wreath is a representation of God and his eternity. God has no beginning and he has no end. In addition, we know that his love and his mercy and his grace for us is also never ending in our lives. Now, it's a green wreath, because the color green, along with blue, is a representation of hope. Roxanne read that this morning. We light that candle as a representation of hope. Green represents hope. It represents life. It represents a newness. Green is the color that we look for at the end of the wintertime, after we've been frozen for a couple of 3 months. And then finally, we see these little buds begin to come. It's a representation of the wonder of God's creation. I love this area of the country. I love that we have all four seasons. Now, ask me about that when I'm out blowing snow on a Sunday morning at 6 a.m. so I can get out of the driveway. But I love the seasons. I'm just amazed at what God does. Every single year, it comes around in perfection. Every time. The majesty, the wonder of God. And so when we see that wreath, we are reminded The circle is a representation of God's eternal love for us. The fact that He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us. He is always present with us in everything that takes place. And the green of that is the life that He brings. It's the hope that we have to know that someday He's coming back again for us. Amen. Well, you know, the candles are also important. There are five of them. Three of them are purple. One of them is supposed to be rose. That's closer to pink, though, in the same family. And then we have a white candle. Well, the purple candles are important because they begin the first weeks of what it is that we're going to do. But the reason that there are four there outside of the Christ candle is that it is a representation of the 4 weeks leading up to the birth of Christ. So we recognize that, 4 weeks. It is also, however, a representation, watch this, of the 4 centuries that God became silent with His people. After Malachi, who wrote the very last book of the Old Testament, or the Italian prophet Malachi, as I like to call him, but when Malachi, you'll get that on the way home, never mind. When he wrote that last book of Malachi, it was 400 years, 4 centuries before Mark wrote the first gospel of the New Testament. 400 years when God was not speaking anymore. 400 years when the people were living going, is God even there? But you know what God was doing? He was removing man from the responsibility of receiving His word and telling the people. You think about Elijah, Jeremiah, all of the prophets of the Old Testament. They were the ones that showed and said, this is what God says. God said, I'm not doing that anymore because now I'm sending my son. Now, you don't need a prophet to tell you the word. Now you can come to me directly because the break that had been made by sin was repaired. Jesus Christ became the one that bridged that gulf between the Father and us so that we could go to Him and pray. We could hear Him speak to our hearts directly. And so for 4 centuries, God pulled away His word from the people so that they would begin to look for, to anticipate who was going to be coming. 4 candles. The purple ones mean hope. The purple ones mean we have got a hope in Jesus Christ who's going to be coming for us. To know that He loves us just as we are. To know that all that He requires of us is for us to surrender our lives to Him. And to say, Father, I need You. The pink one is a representation of joy. Because obviously to know that He's coming for us should fill us with a joy that, as the Bible says, it passes all understanding. That's why you can have joy in the midst of what it is that we've been going through this past year. That's why you can have joy in the midst of a difficult physical deal that you're dealing with, something that you're having to recover from. You can have joy when the checkbook is not matching up with what we need to be going out. You can have joy when you just feel like your world is closing in on you because of Jesus Christ. And then the white candle is the Christ candle. White for purity. White for the divinity of Jesus Christ. And each of those elements serve to remind us that the reason we celebrate this time of year is not for the fat guy in the suit with the white beard. The reason we celebrate is because we know our Savior is returning to us. It's the hope of what it is that we have been promised. Let me even just take it a step beyond this now. What about all the Christmas decorations that we see? Surely those things can have significance. Sure they do. And they still all point to Jesus. Every home this season that has a Christmas tree in it is proclaiming the hope of Jesus Christ yet to come. That person could be born and raised in a church. They also could be the most adamant atheist, agnostic, whatever you want to call it you could possibly be. They've got a symbol of the hope of Jesus Christ in their home. The star that's put on top of the tree, of course, that's the Star of Bethlehem, pointing the way to the birth of Jesus Christ. I don't put a star, I put an angel. That's even better. That's the heavenly host that came and sang the message to the shepherds. All proclaiming that Jesus Christ is coming. It's a live evergreen tree. Now, I know people put up fake trees. I understand that. And by the way, those metal pink ones and all that, they do not count. You need to throw those away, get something. But the live Christmas tree, it's green. It's a symbol of hope. It's the evergreen tree, which never dies or loses its needles. I should say it never loses its color, even when it's chopped. And so that hope of what it is that God's going to do is ever present in the home. What about the colors of Christmas even? Well, what are the two primary colors? Green and red. Green and red. Green for hope, red for the joy of Him through the shed blood, red, of Jesus Christ. You see, you can call Christmas whatever you want to. You can say Happy Holidays. It's still about Jesus. You can say Merry Xmas. Still about Jesus. You can say whatever it is that you want, but the fact of the matter is, this time of year, can I say it like this? It belongs to us. It belongs to God's people. I think that's why the world has tried so hard to just wipe out as much of this as they possibly can, because the power of Christ is undeniable. And see, we as His children have the privilege of being able to share that with the people around us. First, by the way that you live. What do you do? How do you talk? All those things that demonstrate your witness to people, whether you call it a witness or not. But you know, you've also got an opportunity to talk to people this time of year. You know the times people come to church more than any other? People that don't even go to church twice a year. They come when? Christmas and Easter. Two times a year. You've got an opportunity right now to talk about Jesus Christ. In times when you wouldn't normally get to do that. And like those guys that were coming through that truck, asking if we could pray for them. I think I only heard maybe two or three at all that said, no, I'm okay. Virtually every single one of them stopped going, yeah, go ahead, pray over me. What a privilege and an opportunity that is. The season of Advent reminds us of two things. We've got hope and we've got joy. It's a powerful reminder, church, that He loves us. He'll never forsake us, and He's coming again. But it's also a reminder of His goodness to us. You know, regardless of what's taken place this year, God is good. Regardless of what next year brings, and we have no way of knowing, God is good. No matter what it is that you have had to deal with this year, and I know some of you have walked through some very difficult times, this is not in any way meant to minimize that, but to bring it in perspective, God is good. God is good. He loves you. He has a plan for you. And I am believing and I am praying that 2021 is going to be a year for you unlike any other. Now, some of you are sitting there going, thanks, Pastor. Did you pray that at 2020? Because this was a year like no other. I'm not talking about the world's definition of a year. I'm talking about what God is going to do in and through you. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter whether you go to church every single Sunday or not. God loves you. He knows you. He's got a plan for your life. But He wants that relationship with you. Green circle wreath, five candles. The Christmas tree, the star or the angel at the top, the colored lights. You know, even the gifts that we give each other are a reflection of the gifts that the Magi brought to Jesus that first night. That's where that comes from. It's all about Him. Amen. This Christmas season, don't lose sight of what's important. Don't get so caught up that you forget the fact that we are celebrating what Paul said was the greatest gift we could ever be given, our salvation. Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins, and church, He is coming again. Now, let me ask you, I started with a question. I'm going to end it with a question. He's coming again. Are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus to come? Let's pray together. Well, Heavenly Father, I just thank You, God, for Your word this morning. I thank You, Father, that we can look at these things that somebody might say, well, boy, You didn't talk a whole lot from the Bible this morning, and yet, God, it's all about You. The wreath, the candles, the tree, the tree topper, the lights, the gifts we give one another. Father, it all points back to you. And I thank you for Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, that if there is anyone in this room right now, anybody listening to this online that does not know you, that this would be the moment that they commit their lives to you. And Father, I know some people think, well, that must be something really hard to do, and I bet it takes a real long time. No, all it takes is just a moment of surrender to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you in my life, and I surrender myself to you. Come into my heart and be Lord of my life, and may I live for you every day for the rest of my life. And Father, the Word tells us that if we proclaim with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, if we confess our sins, we will be forgiven. And to know, Father, that all we need to do to be saved is just say, Father, come into my life. And so, God, I thank you for the service this morning. I thank you for the wonderful time of worship and song, the worship of fellowship that we have with one another. And I pray, God, that as we leave this place, we will go not overwhelmed by the decorations and the lights. God, as wonderful as those are, Father, they bring such wonderful, warm memories of childhood and of times of innocence and all of those things, and we value and treasure those. But God, may they never, ever take the place in our hearts and our minds where we acknowledge and say, this season is because of Jesus Christ. Bless each and every person, God, every person watching and listening online. And I pray, God, that until we come back again, that you would watch over us, and all we say and do would bring glory and honor to you. It's in the matchless name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Well, give God a hand clap this morning. Thank you so much.